Hello there, and welcome to the Palm and Pine Podcast. The boys are coming to you from their hidden camp, set deep in the Florida woods on the banks of the mystic Suwannee River. So let's take a moment and hear from the boys of old Florida.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to the Palm and Pine Podcast, folks. And today is part two of our two-part interview with Dr. Stephen Nall, the author of The Ditch of Dreams. This was a book about the Cross Florida Barge Canal. And you'll want to go back and listen to part one if you didn't catch it. But we're going to jump right back into that discussion today about the big ditch, the Ditch of Dreams. And so here we go right now with part two.
Right, indeed. Now, you talk about these important figures in the canal story in the 20th century, Marjorie Carr, Tom Adams, Victor Yenicone, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, Billy Matthews. How many of these people were still around when you started writing that you could actually interview?
We interviewed Tom Adams and we interviewed Yenicone. Marjorie Carr, unfortunately, was dead, but we interviewed most of her children. We interviewed other members of her family and other people who were involved in the anti-canal struggle, people like Joe Little, who just died, people like Margie Beeling from Ocala, who was involved. Yenicone was an interesting guy. He's this New York guy, and we found his phone number because he pretty much was off the grid, but we found his phone number and called him up like on a Friday night. And I'm from New York. So, he got into that New York stuff immediately. Fucking crazy place, man. What the hell? I don't understand that. And so he was talking about coming down to Florida, and he was talking about helping to craft the lawsuit. And, the Florida Defenders of the Environment, which was Carr's organization, they had this small office on 13th Street in Gainesville. Yenicone came down here in the summer and said, here I was in this damn place. It was hot as hell. There was no air conditioning. What the hell am I, dropping F-bombs here left and right, and said, we finally crafted the lawsuit and sent it on to Washington, where it had to be filed because it was filed against the Army Corps of Engineers, which was in D.C. And his slogan, which we said, so tell us, and we knew what this was, but I wanted to hear him say it. Tell us what your slogan is. He said, "Sue the bastards." He told Carr, you can. Petition all you want. You can protest all you want. You can write letters all you want. But the only thing that'll get anything done is to sue people. And so basically that's what happened. But Carr's protesting certainly changed public opinion to be opposed to the canal. And, that's why Carr was so amazing, that she basically did three things. One is publicity. The second was science. And the third was the law, and so she was amazing at getting the public to be aware of the damages that this canal would cause to her Florida, and particularly the Ocklawaha River, and not just people in Florida, but nationwide. I mean, she got Reader's Digest, for God's sake, to publish an article on this, Reader's Digest, that main magazine of mainstream America, right? Not just from Florida. So she had people then sending nickels and dimes or dollars at this point, please stop this thing. And then she used science, people from the University of Florida, to show that the canal was going to be destructive of this, not just the river, but the ecosystem that the river was a part of.
Now, it seemed like to me that the 20th century was kind of the birth of this idea of these hugely expensive public works projects. And many of them have been failures and of dubious value. I think of the Ivan Paw Solar Plant in California, the Quaddy that you mentioned in your book. We might throw NASA in there, the Manhattan Project. And And of course, now this Cross Florida Barge Canal, and it seems like they're often failures, and there's really no accountability. And now we have this huge kind of failure in Florida. It's one of them. And this was kind of something born out of the 20th century, don't you think?
Well, it's born out of 20th century liberalism. And 20th century liberalism is about big projects. And big projects for a country that, you know, I don't think we understand just how poor America was, particularly during the Depression, right? And so, you know, things like TVA, things like that. FDR is going to use this stuff as a works project to put people back to work and in the process to improve people's lives. So, you know, things like rural electrification, you know. So it's the negative consequences are there, but the rationale, I you can understand why, right? The crazy thing is when it stopped in 1970 with Richard Nixon, he stops it and puts, you know, an executive order. But less than 3 months later, he goes to Alabama with his bottle of champagne and christens a very similar project that's just going to start called the Tennessee Tom Bigbee Waterway. So it tells us that, you know, that while one stopped, another has started. But the two biggest projects that were stopped are projects in Florida. That's the Cross Florida Barge Canal and the Miami Jetport, which is now in the news again, because that's where DeSantis and Utmeyer want to build the what they call the alligator Alcatraz, you know, in the middle of the Everglades. And once again, the environmental movement is pushing to have this stopped. You know, so it's kind of crazy. And what it tells you is this stuff doesn't end.
Well, yeah, there's more money coming from the black hole. So that's
yes, there is. Yes, yes, that's correct. Yep.
Hey, Dr. Noel, I thought it was really interesting. You know, I'm a wildlife biologist, love to be in the outdoors, and one thing I thought was really interesting. You didn't just study the Ocklawaha there in the ivory tower. You actually got out there in it and paddled your canoe, and I think flipped it twice, or at least may have flipped it more than twice.
Oh, we flipped it more in the book. It's twice, but more than that. Real life.
How would you say that affected your book? Just the personal experience.
I think it really brings to light why people care. You know, that you go on this place and you realize it's amazing. It's an amazing river, and as Carr said, you know, it's like no other river. I think that's overstating the case, but it's an amazing river. Twisty, windy, canopied, overhanging, lots of wildlife, lots of Native American shell middens along the banks. There's significant landing places where steamboats would land in the late 19th, early 20th century. So certainly going out there is amazing. And UF has this thing called Uncommon Reads. It's a one semester, it's a one credit course, and in which you talk about one book. And I didn't talk about my book, but somebody else did. Not the guy I wrote it with, but actually the person who's the head of the UF Honors Program. And she talked about that she used the book the entire semester. And I came to talk about mostly how we got to write the book. But the capstone of that was taking all those students out on the river, you know, and that was amazing because, you know, they learned about it and read the book and it's nice. But to go out there with them to see it, really allowed them to understand what was going on. And we went with Lars Anderson. I don't know if you know who Lars Anderson is. This amazing river guide, also wrote a book about Payne's Prairie. And Lars is a great guy. But, you know, Lars took us out, and I think we did this three times. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that's amazing. And I also took my students from my Florida environmental history class out on the reservoir, on the Lake Ocklawaha, on the impoundment. And that was an amazing event too, because, you know, judging from the way you teach the course and from what the assumption is about the reservoir, it's this dead zone, right? But actually, it's not, which makes the story much more complicated. You know, there's lots of wildlife there. As you know, ospreys like standing water as opposed to flowing water. So there's lots of osprey nests on the, so it makes it more complicated. And then going out on the river during the drawdown of the drawdown of the reservoir, because the reservoir is a artificial ecosystem and has to be managed, right? And every 5 years they draw down the water to allow it to, you know, breathe, whatever. And then all those springs that are covered 95% of the time are now visible. And to go and see those springs now flowing and amazingly turquoise colored really lets you know why this river is so special. Now, the crazy thing, however, is, you know, and I've hiked much of the middle part of the West Coast, there's not as much interest in the Withlacoochee. And we tried to figure out why. You know, maybe because the dam was there earlier as part of an electric project for Tampa in the early 20th century. But, you know, there was never that environmental concern about the Withlacoochee that there was about the Ocklawaha. But you know, that's amazing too. And I have hiked all the way down from 19 to the Gulf of Mexico, which is amazing. And that would have been this unbelievable industrial space, because that would have been where the ships would have unloaded their cargo to the barges to take across the state.
Wow.
Great.
Wow. So one more quick question. Might not be a real quick answer on this one, because it's a big one. But, you know, our state's tackling a lot of huge environmental projects now, the Everglades. Right. And, of course, you know, we even mentioned the alligator Alcatraz, right. You know, all those kind of things, maybe even the Rodman Dam, you know.
Right.
But really, from your work and from what you've learned, what are some key takeaways that maybe should shape our approach in current day?
I think one thing that's really important is, you know, we're not going to stop people from coming here, right? We're not going to do that. The weather's nice, although you can't figure that by today, right? Taxes are low, land is cheap. So people are going to come. I think the key is to get these people to realize that they're now Floridians, as opposed to, I'm a Pennsylvanian who happens to live in Florida, you know. And when you go to the villages, you see these golf carts, and every one of them has on the front a bump, the license plate, Pittsburgh Steelers, Green Bay Packers, you know. But to get them to see Florida, to understand Florida, and to appreciate, you know, the natural part of it, allows them to buy in, you know. And you know, a lot of my talks around the state are to, you know, public libraries and historical societies in, you know, in smaller towns, not academics, and try to get those. And, you know, question I had, how many people are from Florida? You know, there's a bunch of them who are, you know, third and fourth and fifth generation, some of whose parents, oh, my parents took me to the canal, you know, which is, yeah. But many of them are not. And I never heard about this. This is amazing. So we'll go walk the Greenway. You know, you don't have to canoe it. You don't have to kayak it, but go walk the Greenway. You know, go behind the substation, the sheriff's substation, South of Ocala, and see those bridge stanchions. And then maybe they'll understand what's going on. You know, I think that's important. And I think the other thing is to try and understand that many conservative people can be environmentalists. You know, I don't think you'll find many more conservative people than citrus growers or cattlemen, right? I mean, you know, they're gonna MAGAize, but yet they understand that biggest problem for them is development, right? You know, that someone wants their land to build crappy condos. And so, you know, working with those people across party lines, I think, is really important. And I think that was seen with what happened in the golf course fiasco, and certainly then just this year with the assumption that we're going to purchase some land or transfer some land from Guana River. And, you know, I mean, Donald Trump's chief of staff, you know, not a flaming liberal, you know, certainly chimed in and said no. So I think that's really important to try to work together. And my assumption is that might be the way that this Everglades Alcatraz can be stopped. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, okay, great. Well, there's just so much time to talk about, so much to talk about. We'll have to have you on again sometime. Let me encourage everybody to go out and get this wonderful book, Ditch of Dreams by Stephen Knoll. Great summer read, available on Amazon and many other places like that. And I just thought in the final 5 minutes we have remaining, Professor, if we ask this question of all our guests, this final question, if you could talk to a young person today or maybe even go back and talk to your younger self, what would you give them as your most important guiding principle in life?
Guiding principle in life. Listen to older people.
I like it.
be a lifelong learner. Take their ideas and I think, and question everything, you know, listen to them, but don't take everything at face value. You know, I tell that to my students, you know, whether you're liberal, whether you're conservative, listen to your parents, listen to me, but make your own decisions based on what you believe. And get out there. And again, I think don't be just an armchair participant. You know, if you're thinking about outdoor activities, go to a park. You know, if you're thinking about helping people, go to a homeless shelter. You know, so be an active participant and understand that people matter and everyday people matter. You know, and I think that that's important. I was just at a funeral on Sunday, and the officiant said, and I think this woman was an extraordinary, ordinary person. And I think that's really important, that ordinary people can tell you extraordinary things. So, you know, don't just think that, oh my God, you know, these congressmen and senators and CEOs, they're the most important. No, the most important people are ordinary people, people who work hard every day and have a vision of what's going to happen.
Great. Awesome. Excellent. I like the old person part too now, more than ever. And I tell you, as something happens after you hit 55, you get an interest in history.
This notion of legacy, I think, is important. So
how can we have our listeners find you, Dr. Knoll? Is your email the best thing?
The email's the best thing, yeah. I am not on social media for a variety of reasons and have not been for a long time. I think it's hard to control my mouth, so I think it's better to be off that. Yeah, they can reach me by my email, and I'm happy to engage in conversation about environmental issues in Florida.
Excellent.
And you know, certainly the one thing right now, there's a $6.25 million appropriation in the budget passed by both House and Senate regarding restoration of the Ocklawaha and removal of the dam. And, you know, there's significant lobbying on both sides to have the governor either sign it or veto it. So I think, you know, what that tells you is this story, the canal was stopped in 1971. And here we are in 2025 and we're still talking about it. And it's still a hot button issue.
Well, hey, we're all fortunate to have you working on it. And we appreciate your work.
Okay, well, thanks. This is great. This has been great. Thank you so much. And love to come back and talk more about other stuff or about this again. So thank you.
We certainly would love it. We appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Okay.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Steve. Bye.
Bye-bye. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of the Palm and Pine Podcast. This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered professional advice. The views and opinions expressed by the host or any guest are our own and do not necessarily reflect the views of any affiliates. Our opinions are just that, opinions, and are not legal or medical advice. But in our opinion, avoid lawyers and big pharma at all cost. Copyright 2025, Palm and Pine podcast, all rights reserved. Please subscribe and share. Okay, until next time, keep it Florida, and we'll see you soon.